Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Some fears and it was amazing. So
That's another show. But we want to welcome you all on tonight. As we promised, we was going to finish our journey, our eight-week journey to wisdom. We went 9 weeks because we weren't with you all last week. But we are there's 5 Wednesdays in May, so that's exciting. So we're going to use the first Wednesday to finish this journey, as tonight we walk in wisdom and we welcome it. Minister LaDonna, do you want to share what we're going to be doing for the rest of May after tonight?
Well, you know what, Coach D, I will share a little bit about what we are going to be doing. One of the things that we want to do with May is we want to embrace, you know, we have Mother's Day coming up, and so we are really going to dedicate this month to mothers, women, and just really breaking open what it means to be a mom, what it means to be a woman. We have shows coming up, one in regards to, do you still honor and respect an absentee mother? We have so many fathers who are, you know, they've been absent for portions or throughout their children's life, and then when they come back in contact with their children, they don't receive love, honor, and respect. And what about the moms? You know, how do people treat their moms? And so we're going to break open the whole understanding of why it's important to give that honor, love, and respect, even though sometimes we don't want to because of relationship-wise. We're going to be breaking open, when is it the right time to stop mothering your children? You know, sometimes we have husbands who are, their mothers still control their life. They even are controlling their marriage at points in times. Or we have mothers who their children are 30 and 40 years old and they're still being mothered by their mom. And so we are really going to be just taking this role of mother and breaking it down to its basics and building it back up and just really trying to understand what it all entails, why it's important to honor that role and what that role really means. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So that's going to be the month of May. We're dedicating the whole month of May to mothers. So we're going to be talking about various subjects as it pertains to mothers, and I think that's rightfully so with Mother's Day right around the corner. Amen. So without further ado, we're going to get into tonight's wisdom. One of the things, as we always recommend, is that you get your paper and your pads and your pencils, whatever. You're going to want to take notes. Tonight is the final of this eight-week journey, and if you've been following us for the entire 8 weeks, you know that we've touched on some very powerful words and the definition of the words and the meat of the words, what those words really mean. You know, they're more than just letters. You know, when we talked about commitment and we talked about integrity and character and communication, and we are learning. What we did was, if you didn't recognize it, we brought not just you all, but us as well on a journey where we began to get past just the letter and we began to get the spirit of what, when people say integrity, what does that really mean? And so tonight I'm hoping that the substance of what I'm going to speak about tonight in reference to wisdom, that you will not see the letter WISDOM, but that you will see the spirit of wisdom. Amen.
Yes.
So we're going to spirit of wisdom. I'm so excited about tonight's show. And I got to be honest, Minister LaDon has done a tremendous job walking us through this journey. And she has carried this responsibility throughout this 8 weeks. And so when she said, tonight, sis, you're going to carry the end torch, I was like, eek. No, you know. But not just eat, no, but I'm pushing through. I want to be transparent. We've been traveling out of the country. Coach D don't eat meat, red meat. I haven't ate red meat in over a year, and I went out of the country, and guess what I did? I ate red meat, and I ate it quite a, not a lot, but I ate it a few times on the trip, and it didn't agree with me. But I'm pushing through because I didn't operate in wisdom, amen. So I'm ready to get to this wisdom thing. First of all, what I want to say on tonight is, Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's listening in to the show on tonight. Father, we thank you for the 8-week journey where you gave us substance, where you gave us information, where you gave us knowledge, Father God. Now, Lord, we want to take all the knowledge that we got in the last 8 weeks, and we want to apply that knowledge, Father, so that we can now begin to operate in wisdom, that we could be clear on what wisdom is and why it's important to operate in it and how it will change our lives to operate in wisdom. Father, we know that we all have not walked in wisdom. We know that we've fallen short. And Father God, we ask for your forgiveness that we did not walk in wisdom when we should have. So Father, we just pray that you would use tonight to just give us the knowledge, the wisdom that we need, Father, to move forward in the things that you have called for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So first of all, we want to understand that wisdom is the quality of having experiences, knowledge, and good judgment. It's the quality of being wise. And it is the soundness of an action or decision with regards to the application of experience knowledge. You always hear us say that knowledge applied is wisdom. Knowledge unapplied is just a bunch of information. And most of us have a lot of knowledge. We've lived. If you know, most of us that's listening in is probably in our 30s, 40s, and 50s, and beyond, 60s, 70s. So we got a lot of years of knowledge, information, and experience. And you cannot get wisdom without experience. So you have to experience some life. And we often tell our kids that, hey, you haven't experienced enough life yet. You don't know everything. And what we've learned even in our older age is that we still don't know everything. So we want to understand that wisdom is based on our life experiences and taking those experiences and learning from them and using good judgment from those experiences. Wisdom is a virtue, and again, it can only be acquired through experience. And anyone interested in trying new things and reflecting on the process has the ability to gain wisdom. Amen? Various shows, for example. You know, you got the cooking show, and you got different things that you're getting knowledge from. You know, you're not necessarily experiencing, you're getting knowledge from it. But then when you take the knowledge, so get it here. I used to say knowledge applied is wisdom. So in between knowledge and wisdom, you got application. And application is the experience. I'm not going to use the term application anymore. I'm going to use the term experience. So you have knowledge, experience, and then wisdom. Knowledge, experience, and then wisdom. So you get the information, you experience the information, and that gives you the wisdom. That gives you the wisdom. What I want to do on tonight, I'm going to keep it simple. As we get down, I just wanted you to understand what wisdom means, what the definition of wisdom is. I want to tell you that we're going to be talking about there's two different wisdom, and I want you to be aware of that. And you always should ask questions, Coach D, why you need me to be aware that there's two different wisdom? There's two different wisdom. There's a human wisdom, and then there's a godly wisdom. I would say personally that I think I've always operated in a godly wisdom. I have not always operated in a human wisdom. And what I mean by that is that I believe that God gave me the gift of wisdom. From a little girl, I can remember people telling me, I couldn't have been no more than about 5 or 6 years old, and I can remember the elders telling me, ooh, she has wisdom beyond her years. You know, and I remember that. But I also know that there's so many areas of my life coming up, even to today, that I don't operate in wisdom. And so it was funny because as I began to study for this, what I found out was is that there's two types. two different wisdoms. The word wisdom is mentioned 222 times in the Bible. Why? That's a lot of times to be mentioned. So it's something that we're supposed to know about wisdom. There's a reason why we're supposed to be operating in wisdom. And for it to be mentioned 222 times. And so let's break it down here for a minute. The Hebrew word chokmah, C-H-O-K-M-A, chokmah, is used in the Old Testament. It stands for wisdom, both divine, which is the godly wisdom. Example of divine wisdom would be, for example, Proverbs 3:19 tells us that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth by understanding. Godly wisdom. The godly wisdom that we often hear about, Solomon, for example, that asked God for wisdom. And then it also speaks to that same word, speaks to the human wisdom. Example of that would be Daniel. Why am I doing this? I want you to just understand the two different examples. Daniel 1 and 17, it spoke about these children that God gave them knowledge and skills, learning. They had great wisdom and understanding, that, you know, maybe dreams and visions and different things. So, again, there's some humanly wisdom going on here and there's godly wisdom. Again, I think that sometimes I've been operating in human wisdom. And we're going to get to that now, and you will see why I say that, that there's times, even today, and with all I know now, there are moments when I'm not operating in wisdom. So tonight, what I want to do, now that you understand what wisdom is, we want to, and now that we understand that it's important for us to have wisdom, biblically it tells us that it's important to have wisdom. The Bible has a book that speaks predominantly to wisdom. When you think about Proverbs, every time you read a proverb, it's talking about wisdom. Talking about wisdom have her way, and wisdom this and wisdom that. And I could give you book after book, Ecclesiastes, 1 Corinthians, James, Proverbs, that's all speaking to wisdom. Again, it's mentioned 222 times. So now let's get to the wisdom. I'm going to give you 11 points. I'm going to focus on 11 points tonight that's going to help us operate in wisdom. Most of us, again, that's listening in on tonight, we may get some people that's under 20. But most of us are over 30. We've lived some life. We've had some experiences. We've experienced some things. We've made some poor decisions. We made some good decisions. So I want us to begin to start operating and making better decisions and being conscious of the decisions we are making so that we could continue to operate in wisdom. And so if you get your pens and paper, we're going to get to that. I'm going to try not to make this boring. I'm going to try to make it exciting. At any given time, please, if you have any questions or you have anything you want to add to what I'm saying on tonight, do not be shy. Dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, and we will bring you in. You do not have to acknowledge who you are. You can just merely ask your question or make your comment. We need the interaction. It would be great to have the interaction. Amen? So at any time, I'm not going to have a third time that I ask the studio audience anything. If you have a question or comment, dial 1 on your dial pad and just give us a moment to get to you. So number one, the first thing to wisdom, or one of the 11 things I'm going to speak to wisdom, is think before you speak. Think before you speak. We all have heard that a million times. Most of us don't follow it. I would say, tap your neighbor and tell them, do you follow wisdom? Most of us would say we have not. Some of us have spoken. We didn't think about what we said. Out of emotions, out of anger, out of frustration, we said some things. And one of the principles of communication is this, that once you say it, you cannot take it back. Once you say it, you cannot take it back. So we need to begin to think before we speak. That's a form of wisdom. when you have the ability to think before you say something, something that could be devastating, something that could be harmful or hurtful to the person that you're standing to. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, realize there is never a right time. Wow, what does that really mean? How many of us will put off and not do and not operate in because we said, well, when I get a better job, I'll do this. I'm going to use weight loss. Once I come back from my vacation, I'll do this. Or, you know, once I get married, I'll do this. Or once the kids are grown, I can do this. We have all this putting off for tomorrow what we should have did today. So wisdom said, realize there's never a right time. Just do it. And that I would have to honestly say that's not an area that I lack wisdom in, because when I'm ready to do something, I just do it, even when I know it's not the right time. Number three, balance self-interest with the collective good. This simply means that it cannot always be about you. That means when you're making decisions and choices, it should always be for the good, the collective good. So men, for example, your household, when you're making decisions as it pertains to your life and you're the head of your household, your decision should never be about what you want. Oh, you know what? I'm going through midlife crisis and I want to go buy an $80,000 vet. You get ready to go buy an $80,000 vet, but you got four kids at home, and out of the four, three of them are still in grade school or high school. You can't carry around four kids in a vet and a wife. So is what your decision based on the good? Or are you just doing something because it's your interest? You know, you like to golf. Okay, it's good to have a hobby, but you ain't got a job. Women, you like to shop. It's good to not look nice, but you're shopping and you don't have groceries in the house. So again, put balance self-interest with the collective good. It should always be a considerate thought. I found it interesting that that would be one of the things to wisdom, because in the Bible, when God speaks of love, He speaks of love in a vertical first, and then the horizontal. And that's what He's speaking our love vertically with God first and foremost. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. So He's telling us first how to love Him. And then horizontally, He said, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. So then He's telling us how to love horizontally our brothers and sisters. So I thought that was interesting, that it's telling us it's a balance of self. It's a balance for the collective good of all. Number four, put things in perspective before you jump to conclusions. I'm good at that one. Because I find it hard to sit down and read the whole paragraph. That's not good. I'm laughing because I recognize some of my weaknesses. I recognize the areas that I don't operate in wisdom. I recognize the areas that I could do better. And I'm hoping on tonight that these things that I'm mentioning, you could recognize them in your own life so that you could begin to operate in wisdom. I want to operate in wisdom. I don't want to jump to conclusion. You know, I want to put things in proper perspective. You know, it's easy to jump to conclusion. You know, but the only thing with that is when you jump to conclusion and you stir up all this dirt or dust, because normally when you jump to conclusion, you respond negatively. It creates discord only for you to find out that it wasn't what you thought it was. And then it ties back into It ties back into number one, where it says think before you speak. When you jump to conclusions, you generally are not going to think before you speak because you already think that you thought about it, but you really didn't. You jumped to a conclusion. So you want to be careful in doing that. It's not wisdom to jump to conclusion without considering all the facts. Number five, don't blindly accept the status quo. What does that mean? Do you realize that 87% of Americans are followers? There's only 3% that's leader. And then you got 10% that are sabotagers. So the 10% could be leader, but they're not, but they're negative leaders. They're what we would call destroyers. Let me give an example of a destroyer. Trying to think of somebody that we all may know that has that's a leader, that's in a maybe a leadership position, but it's not for the better good of everyone. I'm not gonna call no names. I think you guys may get where I'm going. But you got 87% of people that are followers. They're what we call lukewarm. They're just follow the status quo because everybody else is doing. Don't we know stuff like that? Have you ever caught yourself doing something because the majority was doing it, and because the majority was doing it, you thought it was great? Is there, Minister LaDon, I don't know, is my phone breaking up or was that you?
And that could have been my phone. That could have been my connection.
Okay. So, status quo is, you know, doing what everybody else is doing, you know. And so don't be an 87% follower. That's not wisdom. Everybody's, you know, getting this done. So you go get it done because everybody's getting it done. But you didn't do your research. You didn't find out what the side effects were. You didn't find out what the consequences of it was, just everybody doing it. One of the things you can think of that, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but it's trendy now. Everybody's getting tattoos. Everybody's getting tattoos. I mean, they're getting sleeved. If you don't know what sleeve means, that means when you send people with their whole arm, their whole torso are covered in tattoos. Everybody's doing it. It's a trendy thing. But have you researched it? Do you know that it will work for you? Do you know that you won't have if you're going to have an allergic reaction to the dye? Have you found out what's the best way to do it? You know, don't just follow the status quo. Number six, keep your power. Don't let other people's negativity upset you. Wise people realize that they are always in control of their thoughts, their feelings, and their actions. Now, again, here's another area that there's times where I lose my power, and I believe I'm a leader, but there's times where I lose my power because I allow something to upset me so much so that I'm no longer in control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. I respond, and that's not wisdom. So we want to operate in wisdom. We want to keep our power. We want to always be in control. And if you're noticing on tonight, as I'm speaking about this list, you will notice that it goes back to all of them tie into each other. It all ties into each other, starting with one. It ties in. It goes back to all the way down to six. It's saying to us to think. Think before we respond. We're in control of our emotions. We have to master our emotions. More people have failed in life because they did not master their emotions. And we have the ability to master our emotions. We have the ability to. We don't have to just say everything we think. We don't have to respond to everything that takes place. We have the choice. We have the discipline and the power to not have to respond to everything. And that's wisdom. Number seven, don't act impulsively. Have a purpose and a goal. Now, you hear people talking about being spontaneous. Oh, I'm spontaneous. I just like to go get my girl, tell her to jump in the car. We take a drive down the coast, and we'll end up in Mexico. That's spontaneous. It's exciting. Sometimes being spontaneous is romantic. It's just, woo, it's free. And that's fine when you just, you know, because it can be fun. And it's fine when you're planning or taking a vacation or playing hooky for work for one day. But guess what? It's not wisdom to operate spontaneously in every area of your life, because you'll be all over the place. You probably will never get anything accomplished. So it's better when you're talking about your life goals, when you're talking about your career, when you're talking about even talking about marriage. You're not going to just spontaneously go marry somebody. People do it. People do it. And for everybody that do it, for every 100 people that do it, probably only two of them, that marriage works. The other 998 end up in divorce because they just spontaneous. I met somebody and, I got butterflies and I'm just going to go get married. You know, just being impulsive. You know, impulsive spending. See, there's a business on impulsiveness. When you go to any grocery store, I don't care what grocery store you go to, I don't care what retail store you go to, they have what they call impulsive shopping. What is impulsive shopping? You make a list. You need eggs, butter, bread, whatever you need. You go in the store, you're focused. You have a purpose and a goal. And your purpose is to go in there and get exactly what's on the list, nothing more, nothing less. You know that you're staying within your shopping budget. You don't want to exceed it. You know that you have a certain time that you need to get in there and get out. And so what happens is you go in there, you get what you want, you get to the checkout stand, you're standing in line, and what do you see? On the right of you and the left of you is stuff. It's called impulsive shopping. They do it on purpose because they want to capture your attention. It ain't too many of us that go and stand in the line and don't look at the stuff to the right and left of us. Even when it's not stuff we need, most of the time we'll grab something. We'll see some chips. We'll see some gum. We'll see some water. We'll see sodas. We'll see just stuff. It could be a flashlight. It doesn't matter. But they got all this stuff right there to capture your attention to get you to spend more money. It's called marketing and impulsive shopping. So, again, you want to be more purpose-driven, more goal-oriented. You want to know, okay, this is what I'm going to do on, you know, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I do X, Y, Z. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do X, Y, Z. I'm doing this because I'm trying to accomplish something. You know, it's okay every now and then to be spontaneous, but in life, you want to be for sure. You want to be certain. You want to be able to set goals and reach those goals. You want to be able to have KPIs. What's KPI? Key performance indicators. Your indicators is what you've accomplished. And everybody's success is different. You know, we look at stuff and people get confused and they think, okay, P. Diddy, Jay-Z, they look at them and they say they're successful. But see, success is not measured by celebrity status. Success is measured by your accomplishment. If I said that, if my goal is that 3 days a week I'm going to cook a homemade meal, and I cook that homemade meal 3 days a week, that's my measure of success. I've accomplished my goal, what I set out to do. And when you accomplish what you set out to do, that you become successful in that thing. So wisdom is a part of having a purpose and setting goals. Number eight, now I'm going to stop for a moment just to make sure. Is there anyone that has a question? Minister LaDon, do you have a comment or anything before I move further? We're getting into number eight. We got about three more to go that we're going to work down this list. It's not going to probably take us most of the show. We'll probably be finishing pretty early, but I want to stop, see if our studio audience have a question or a comment, or if you do.
Well, one of the things I would like for you to do, just especially for our studio audience as well, before you get to number eight, is to just, you know, give one through seven, well, actually one through six again. What, you know, you don't have to do the commentary, but just making sure that they have written down each of the different points so that they can continuously follow along. I know sometimes when I'm listening to what you're saying or taking notes, sometimes I get so caught up in listening that I forget, you know, what was previously said. But, and also, I love how you said that we need to think, take our time to, you know, make sure that we're thinking, thinking things through and not being so compulsive or impulsive, and making sure that we have a purpose and a goal. I did want to quickly give an acronym for THINK, and one of my coaches gave this to me, and it stuck with me forever. But when you're talking, before you speak, and we, people who gossip have a tendency to not think before they speak. Make sure what you're listening to, let alone speaking, but what you're listening to, and this is another way of being able to act in wisdom. Is it true? Is it thoughtful? Is it helpful? Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Is it intelligent? Is it necessary or needful? And is it kind? And so when you said think, it made me, it took me back to that, those acronyms. And again, it's a great way for making sure that we operate in wisdom. I know sometimes we, myself, I'm just going to speak for myself. I get so caught up in conversation and, you know, trying to be funny, or even if I'm upset with somebody and I'm speaking with my girlfriend, and sometimes the words that come out of my mouth are not thoughtful, or maybe they're not, usually they're true, but they're not thoughtful, or maybe they're not helpful or inspiring or necessary or needful. And so that's ways that we can get caught up in unnecessary conversation and not operating in wisdom. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I'm going to go through just to make sure everybody got it. I'm not going to give the commentary. I'm just going to go through each bullet point. First one, number one, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Number two, realize there is never a right time. Realize there is never a right time. Number three, balance self-interest with collective good. Balance self-interest with collective good. Number four, put things in perspective before you jump to conclusions. Put things in perspective before you jump to conclusions. Number five, don't blindly accept the status quo. Don't blindly accept the status quo. Number six, keep your power. Don't let other people's negativity upset you. As I call that, master your emotions. Number seven, don't act impulsively. Have a purpose and a goal. Don't act impulsively. Have a purpose and a goal. Now we're going to move on to number eight, and we only have three more after that. We have 11 in total. So number eight, accept other people for who they are. Trying to change people is really pointless, especially grown people. Now, when I say, when it says wisdom says accept people for who they are, I'm not saying that you have to take somebody who is a very poor character and that you have to accept them into your life because they're not willing to change or make the necessary adjustments. That's not what this is saying. It's saying wisdom says accept other people for who they are. In other words, going in and trying to change somebody, going in and trying to change people, especially again, grown people, it's pointless, and it may not be you operating in wisdom. The wisdom means this is accept who they are. You know, this is who they are. Now, they have the ability to change who they are. They do. We don't. So wisdom is saying, hey, that's who they are. Accept the fact that that's who they're going to be until they're ready to change. Number nine, Minister LaDon.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I don't know. I think your phone is like you can hear a lot of talking and squeaking or something, I think. I'm not sure.
There's no talking in my background.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay. Number nine, the cover may be pretty, but the book might not be. The cover may be pretty, but the book might not be. And this simply means that the outer person may not be the same as the inner person. Wise people don't get blinded by charm, personality, looks, status, financial status. In other words, you can look at the outer part of a person and they could be flow showing. And I don't know if all of you know what that term means, but they could be flow showing out there, having appearing with the appearance that they live in a certain life, only to find out that they're not. Or they could have the appearance that they're godly, only to find out that they're not. Now, another term for the cover may be pretty, but the book might not be, could be what we say often you hear, especially in the body, in church. They're a wolf in sheep clothing. They're not really who they say they are. Wisdom says just because a person look good, smell good, they may not be good. So you're going to take time and observe the person. You're going to ask the right questions. If you're dating, you know, man, you meet a nice lady. She looks good on the outside. I mean, she got body. She appears to have class and style and finesse, and you like, woo, that's the person for me. And then you later find out after you just gave your heart and gave all your hard work cash and just gave in to her, you find out that she was only what the world calls a gold digger, that she was only there for one reason, that her intentions towards you weren't good. Or women, you meet guys, they're nice looking, they charm you, they may wine and dine you the first couple of times, and you think you hit the gold mine, now you're ready to get married because they didn't wine and dine you, and they said all the right things, and they're charming. Then all of a sudden you give your heart to them, and you find out that they got three or four different girlfriends, and they really are broke, and now you find yourself paying every time you go out to eat, you know. So, again, using wisdom, not judging the book by the cover, but getting a chance to really know what's on the inside. Number 10, don't judge others. Try to understand them instead. This is a good one right here. We were talking about this yesterday. I was in a conversation with someone on yesterday and on the plane, and we were just talking, and we were talking about this because we all have a tendency to judge. You know, we see such and such, and she's doing drugs, and she's a drug addict, or we see such and such, and he's robbing people. He's going into convenience stores and banks, and he's robbing. And then we judge immediately, oh, they just a bad actor. Oh, she's just a strawberry, a crackhead. Or, oh, you know, he's just a, you know, he's just a liar and a robber. And we already start judging, but we never even thought to understand. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is right, but have we ever wanted to take the time to find out why are they doing what they do? You know, you may find out that Bob been stealing. You can't even trust him at your house because every time he come over, something come up missing. And so we judge him for that. But have we ever thought about that maybe when Bob was younger, Bob and them were poor. Many nights they went to bed, they didn't eat. He didn't have things that his friends had. And so he found out that, oh, I could get some food. I could get the kind of food I like. Or I could get the kind of tennis shoes I want. I could be like everybody else if I go and steal it. So now it doesn't mean what he's doing is right and it has to be acceptable. But now you have a better understanding. So you might not judge him as harshly because you're saying, okay, he needs to process through some stuff, but now I understand. I understand now that she was doing this and she was, you know, she was out here sleeping with a bunch of different guys. And, you know, the world called her a whore. Oh, she's just a whore. She's out here sleeping with everybody. But what you didn't know was that she never was loved growing up as a little girl. You know, she didn't have the right attention. You know, maybe she was being molested. Maybe her mom had multiple boyfriends bringing them in and out the house. Maybe the people that was molesting her was the people who said they loved her. So her definition of love was, I have to give my body in order to get love. Give my body, I get love. I give my body, I get love. So now she finds herself looking for love in all the wrong places. She's sleeping around, and the best thing that the world could call her is a whore when in reality, she's looking for love. She never said, well, when I grow up, I want to be a whore. So we don't want to be careful about how we judge people, especially when we don't know the shoes that they walked in. We don't know the road that they've traveled, and we need to. And wisdom tells us, you know what? Try to understand people. Why Billy been homeless for 3 years? We just see him as a bum. You know, that's just Billy the bum. But we might find out that Billy had a PhD, that Billy had a doctorate, and that Billy lost his child. His child was killed. His wife and child was killed in the car accident, and he lost his mind. And he started making poor decisions out of grief and ended up on the street. Amen? So we want to make sure that we don't just judge others without understanding where they're coming from. The other thing, and the last one is, number 11, think positive thoughts and repeat affirmations. Wise people are positive, however, we're human. And because of that, we're not immune to negative thoughts. We're not immune to negative thoughts. But the difference is when you're operating in wisdom, you recognize when those negative thoughts are creeping up. You recognize when you begin. One of the things for me is, I know when I'm starting to be negative. I know when I'm starting to murmur and complain. I can hear myself. The wisdom in me allows me to step outside of myself, and I can hear myself being negative. I can hear myself murmuring and complaining. So I start having a conversation with myself. And the conversation goes a little like this. You know what, Denise? Stop it. Don't do that. That's ugly. And so then what I'll do to counter those negativities, for me, you can do different things. You can begin to read positive quotes. You can put on positive music. For me, when I start hearing of these negative thoughts, I have certain Bible verses that I begin to meditate on to help me get out of that negative mindset, to help me get out of that negative space. I may put on my worship music, something that's just calm and soothing, that's speaking words that's edifying, that's feeding me, you know, so I could be, so I could get back in a positive headspace. And so wisdom, it's not saying that you won't be negative. It's not saying that you won't judge others. It won't say that you may misjudge the book by its cover. It's not saying that you will always accept people the way they are, that you not, that you don't act in impulsively. It's not saying that sometimes you won't lose your power. It's not saying that you sometimes haven't followed the status quo. It's not saying that you haven't jumped to conclusions or sometimes maybe been a little self-centered. It's not saying that you haven't realized it's not the right time. And it definitely don't say that you always think before you speak. But wisdom is saying when you get into those areas, you got enough wisdom to step back. You got enough wisdom to recognize the way, the wrong way you went or the wrong decision you made. You got enough wisdom to not continue in the same pattern. Wisdom, repentance is wisdom. When we know that we fell off and we know how to come back and say, you know what, I blew it. Man, I messed up. And we make the necessary adjustment in wisdom. That was an experience. That was an experience. And so now I'm going to experience operating in wisdom. So I'm going to come back and correct where I went left. I'm going to come back and correct what I've done, what I didn't do the right way. The one good thing about wisdom, and I'm going to say that this and then I'm concluding, is that the good thing about wisdom is that we have the ability to operate in it. So you don't, everybody don't always operate in wisdom, but you have the ability to. So it's not something that if you either you got it or you don't. You know, it's not one of those things where, oh, you know, talent. Talent is, you know, you got either you got a certain talent or you don't have a certain talent. But with wisdom, it's, I don't believe it's either you got it or you don't. I believe that wisdom is something you could continuously gain. I believe that wisdom is something that you could choose to grasp onto, if you could choose to operate in wisdom. And you choose the times when you don't operate in wisdom. Amen. Minister LaDonna, do you have anything as we close out?
Yeah, great show, great show. I love the information. You know, one of the things that as you were going through all of the different pointers, one of the things that really hit home for me is that wisdom is simply acting in maturity. We have gone through these experiences in the world, and from the experiences, we're supposed to grow and we're supposed to acquire knowledge. And it's simply choosing at each moment to allow the maturity of the knowledge that you acquired to live. And so I love how you said that it's wisdom is not something that we either have or we don't, because it's not. When we are born into this world, like, you have to go through your experiences. You're not born in and of yourself with having wisdom. There's no person in this world that is just came into this world, except for Jesus Christ, of course, came into this world and just knew everything, knew when to do it, how to do it. They didn't know everything. And so I want us to stop beating ourselves up when we feel like we're not operating in wisdom. That's the time to say, you know what? The maturity of my knowledge was not expressed in this moment. But the next moment, you always have another chance to allow that maturity to live. And so as you're going through life and as you're going through your experiences, remember in the Bible, it says that we're supposed to acquire and seek wisdom. And not only does it says that we're supposed to acquire and seek it, so that's something that you pick up along the way. And since we're picking it up along the way, again, don't beat yourself up for not having it. But not only does it say that we're supposed to seek wisdom, but it says that wisdom wants to be found, like it's running around in the streets wanting to be found. And so because of that, continue to grow. Continue to grow and continue to add more to your, more information, more knowledge to your repertoire, so that when you're facing different challenges and you have different situations that are coming against you, you have more to operate with. You have better decisions that you can make. You have different actions that you can take. And again, do not beat yourself up. Today I was just thinking, I've been in this really great mood, and then all of a sudden a different type of mood hit me. And I said, you know what, I'm one step away or one step ahead of unhappiness, or one step ahead of a depression or sadness. And the reason why you can stay a step ahead is because of the knowledge that you take, like that you acquire. Like Coach D said, sometimes you have to take your thoughts and you have to arrest your thoughts. But the only way that you can is by interacting with people, gaining new information, continuously gaining information. If you're not learning something new every day, there's no way that we can be operating in wisdom. Truly. We cannot. And so when you take all of what we've learned throughout these last 9 weeks, you'll see they all intertwine. If you've been taking notes during this show and previous shows, you'll hear some of the same information coming back at you in a different way. And so I'm really so thankful that you laid it out very clear, very detailed, in such a detailed way, so that we can begin to analyze our actions, analyze what we're doing, who we're interacting with, and that we can begin to grow. And so, again, if I could leave our listening audience with anything, the first thing is stop beating yourself up. Stop allowing yourself to tear yourself down. When God sent us into this world, he sent us in here to grow. He didn't send us in here to not grow. And that's why our bodies get bigger. Our minds are able to grasp more and understand more. He sent us in here with the ability to mature. So allow yourself the freedom, the liberty of maturing and becoming wise, and celebrate when you're acting in wisdom. Again, we beat ourselves up for so much. I got into the same type of relationship over and over and over again. Well, there's something that you didn't learn. When it comes back around again, say, oh, wait a second. There's something I need to pay attention to here. And so, again, don't beat yourself up. Give yourself the liberty to grow and to mature. Surround yourself with wise counsel and encouraging counsel. Sometimes it might not be the wisest counsel, but it's an encouraging counsel. And continue to feed your spirit and feed your brain. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, that ended our 8-week journey to wisdom. We hope that you received something on tonight with what was shared. This has been a journey for us as well as you all, I'm sure. And I know for me personally, I will be utilizing all the information that went forth on the last 8 weeks to make sure that I'm operating in wisdom more often, that I'm operating in wisdom more often. So, again, we just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight. We will pick up next Wednesday as we begin to do our month of May for mothers. We're going to have we're going to have four different subjects in reference to mothers that you probably won't want to miss out on. They're going to probably be some really good information, some good shows. And we love, as always, the feedback, any feedback. Tomorrow, please feel free to tune in to Processing the Pain every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then again, we pick back up on Wednesday for Woman to Woman. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.
Good night, and see you soon. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Songs of love and songs of joy.
Woman to woman. Yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs.